6:05 here on the Fan. Chad Hartman out this particular Sunday. Darren Doogie Wolfson here in the lead chair. I now bring in to the conversation a man who's probably sitting in the Barca lounger in his living room in his palatial estate, Invergrove Heights. He's probably preparing to watch David Beckham and the LA Galaxy take on the New England Revolution. Am I right, Lavelle?
He's not playing tonight.
Oh, he's out? I thought he was a game-time decision. I thought he might play.
Well, it's almost game-time, and that decision's been made. He's not playing.
Are you getting ready for that big tilt?
No, I'm not, actually.
What are you watching, then?
I'll probably watch a little baseball. There's a baseball game on tonight, you know.
And you can hear that game right here on the Fan as well. It's the Phillies and the Braves. We'll focus this conversation. Well, why not?
Shameless.
It's got playoff implications. It's actually a pretty good game. And the Phillies are my National League squad. I'll be watching, and I'll be listening on my way home. All right, let's talk Twins, though. Are you ready to write this team officially off? I started the show by throwing the towel I have in the middle of the studio, and I raised the white flag in my other hand.
Well, I think it started in Kansas City when you score 11 runs one day and can't score against Kyle Davis the next. I think that pretty much sums up your year. But you know what? We've been talking about the same things about this club since, what, June, as far as getting a hitter. Maybe May, going back to May, they've been saying, let's get another hitter. And since then, it just really hasn't gotten better. And I'm convinced now that a lot of guys have a mental block. You can't have a lineup that has a hitter like Torrey Hunter and Joe Meyer and Justin Morneau and Mike Goodyear, and all of a sudden they get shut out as much as they have. They have been shut out 1-0 four times this year. So I think it's in their heads a little bit too, and I just don't see this whole thing getting fixed.
Aaron Gleeman of AaronGleeman.com, NBCSports.com, Roto World, and the Hardball Times in studio helping me out.
All right, Lavelle, my buddy Suhan said the other night that at least one player said seeing Punto's name in the lineup was demoralizing. I won't ask you who you think said it, although I know who I'd bet on, but do you think that sentiment is pretty widespread in the clubhouse at this point?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the guy's having a terrible year, and recently he hasn't really been that strong in the field either. He can't even get bunts down, you know, and he's the hitting coach has told him that he needs to raise his hands more to keep hitting the ball in the air so much. He did that for one day, and he went back to his old way. So he's kind of reaping what he sows right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if some people are a little disappointed. But you can't look at one player or one thing as the reason for the breakdown in this offense, although they've expected a lot out of Punto this year. It's unfair to put the whole thing on him.
Your colleague Joe Christensen blogs at StarTribune.com that last night's game is pretty much the Twins in a nutshell this year. That's why the Twins, after losing today, one game below 500. The Twins now 1-5 on this current nine-game road trip. It was late in the game, and Gardy had to use a pinch hitter for Nick Punto because he's struggling so much offensively.
Right.
And he went with Luis Rodriguez, and his options were Luis Rodriguez or Tommy Watkins. I mean, what does that say right there, Lavelle? And Lavelle's probably so in tune with the soccer match that he isn't paying attention to the conversation anymore. We'll get Lavelle back in the line. But Aaron, you watched last night's game. I was actually, trust me, it wasn't my idea, but I had to do some family stuff with the girlfriend and her family. Just kind of recap last night's game and then take me through that situation where Gardy had to pinch hit for Punto. And his options are Luis Rodriguez batting 196. And a guy they shouldn't have even called up, Tommy Watkins.
Well, last night, I think it was what Bill Simmons from ESPN calls a stomach punch game. They actually scored a couple runs, which for Silva counts as huge run support. They bring in Neshek, who's been so great all year. He immediately serves up a homer. Angels take the lead. And then, like you said, it's maybe the second or third time where Gardy has gone to Rodriguez, which you say, why is he going to Rodriguez? But when the other choice is Watkins, or earlier this year it's been, you know, Lou Ford or Tyner or something like that, Gardy has done a lot of things that I would say aren't great at maximizing the talent in terms of putting together the lineup. But at some point you have to look to Ryan and say they have no bench, they have no fourth outfielder, they have no left-handed power. I mean, you really have no options.
Silva went 7 innings last night. He was fabulous looking at the box score, gave up only 2 hits, not 1 run. Why did he come out?
Well, he actually had an injury scare with 2 outs in the inning, and they all came out. Trainers came out. Gardy came out to the mound, and he sort of shook him off. And then he escaped from trouble there. And I don't know if it was the pitch count, which wasn't very high, or they just figured we don't want to send him out. Maybe he has time to sort of wait on the bench and the injury gets worse or whatever. And plus, really, Neshek has had a little dead arm period, but for the most part, he's been phenomenal. And if you hand over a 2-run lead to Neshek and then Nathan, you pretty much write that up as a win most of the time.
We have Lavelle Neal of the Star Tribune back. Let me punch him up manually. My mouse, I think I broke it in here. Lavelle, you back?
Yeah, I am so down on the Palm Trail phone right now. This thing is like just stopped working like four times this weekend.
Well, you guys are making so much revenue at the Star Tribune. Get your bosses to buy you a new phone.
Revenue is becoming a foreign word in the newspaper industry, sir.
Did they go with the lineup again today of Morneau 4th, Hunter 5th, Cuddy 6th? And if so, will they continue to do that?
Dude, I don't know if it matters at this point. I mean, he's trying to jumble things up. He's got Mauro Morneau batting back-to-back, and he's tried that out. He's tried Castilla in the leadoff. He's tried different things, and none of it's worked. I would imagine that he's going to keep shuffling a little bit until he gets something that works. But, you know, I don't know what they're trying to achieve right now, but because I just don't see how they can get in a hot streak long enough to eat up this deficit, because they haven't done it all year.
Well, like you said, it's probably a little too late, but I realize Ryan didn't want to break the bank for a big-time hitter, but can you explain why he didn't bother to pick up even a mediocre bat, Russell Branyon, Mark Sweeney, Devan, and somebody like that?
You know, I can't put a finger on that one either. And, you know, one of the greatest mistakes of this season is how things turned out for them in the DH left field third base spots. I think a lot of people expected Kubel to take a bigger step forward than he has this year. That's been a disappointment. Rondell White breaking down again, you know, that's been a significant setback. And maybe things would have been a little different if Rondell had stayed healthy the whole season. The third base, that's just an incredible hole there. So, I don't know why Terry made the moves he did. It seemed like during the offseason he was more worried about trying to find a veteran-type pitcher to kind of help stabilize the rotation until he felt the young players were ready. And that seemed to be the emphasis of his offseason. And, of course, that didn't work either because they tried it out Sidney Ponson and Ramon Ortiz, and those guys ended up being out of the rotation 2 months into the season. So I think Terry Ryan has generally done a good job as a GM. I think everything he's tried to attempt this year has blown up in his face.
6:12 here on the Fan. It's Twins Weekly. Darren Doogie Wolfson filling in for Chad Hartman. Aaron Gleeman of NBCSports.com and AaronGleeman.com, among other sites, is co-hosting. Lavelle Neal of the Star Tribune, our guest. In all your years of covering baseball, going back to 1999 when you screwed Pedro Martinez out of an MVP award, you've seen a lot of baseball. You've covered many teams. Have you ever seen a team this brutal offensively? And here are some numbers. After today, 57 times this year, the Twins have scored 3 runs or less. They've been shut out of Major League leading 11 times, 12 times 1 run or less, 8 times 2 runs or less. They're last in the league in slugging, third fewest runs scored in the league since the All-Star break. By far, they've scored the fewest runs in all of baseball. Again, it's not even close. The second fewest doubles in the league, the fourth fewest home runs. I mean, Lavelle, it's one of the worst offenses I've ever seen.
Yeah, since All-Star break, it's been pretty sad. And everybody knew what they needed to do coming out of the break, and they just haven't achieved it. So it's pretty embarrassing. But, no, dude, I've covered a lot of worse teams than this one. I covered the 63-97-1 Twins in 1999. I covered a couple really bad Kansas City Royals teams before I came to Minnesota. So you look at the whole season as a whole, you know, this team is better than those. But this stretch right now reminds me of the days when Brent Gates was batting third.
Gator. He was my hero. All right, Silva's been hurt probably more than any other pitch on the staff by the lack of runs, and you had a note earlier this week where he said he'd like to re-sign and he'd be willing to give the Twins a discount. One, what exactly qualifies as a discount? And two, do you think the Twins are even interested in that at this point?
Well, pitching on the free agent market is pretty risky. I mean, Adam Eaton can pull in $8, $9 million a year. You know, Silva's probably, I'm sure Silva's agent's probably thinking that Silva's maybe a 6-7 $1 million a year pitcher. So I don't know what it would, I don't know what he means by discount. And I think the landscape, I think the future doesn't look good for Carlos because the Twins have a lot of young pitchers that should be ready to step up here. I think Baker's pretty much cemented himself as a rotation guy. Booth still has some things to work on, but he's there too. Garza definitely has the makings of a top shelf, top of the line rotation guy. And then you got Sloy, you got Perkins, you got a couple of other guys in the minors.